Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of 1 Thessalonians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, ending in verse 16, where we talk about how the Word of God is not only inspired, but it is the truth and it is alive today. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, with a message entitled, Is the Work of God at Work in You?
A link in time from then till now. We, my brother, those who were in Israel with us this past trip, we stood from here to, I don't know, maybe the guy with the man bun out there. Okay, from here to there, the Qumran caves where they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. Daniel and a guy that was in town last week from Bahrain, they were taking rocks during our teaching and they were throwing them. I wasn't teaching, so I didn't care. They were taking rocks and they were throwing them from where we were standing into the opening of where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. You guys, are you alive this morning? Do you hear what I'm telling you? This is insane. I mean, you're involved with something that is real. I don't know if you know that. You're following a God who is alive and well. And he's given us so many irrefutable truths that you and I cannot possibly protest. Not in our right mind, we can't. There's no other religion. There's no other denomination outside of the religion and denomination of the Church of Jesus Christ that can do what I'm doing right now and talk to you about, you know, facts and truths that are there for anybody to go and research and encourage their congregation with. This is not just this isn't Bible college, so I'm not just giving you facts. I'm going to bring this around in a second. But before I do, before we get applicable here, I want you to understand the facts. These are just facts, prophetically incredible, just incredible, incredible evidence. Hundreds of other handwritten manuscripts have been found. We have them at Cambridge University Israel Museum, which I've been to. I've seen them with my own eyes. We have them at British Museum, the Smithsonian Institution. Hundreds of handwritten copies that exactly line up with what we have in our hands this morning. No change. No discrepancies that are major by any means. Beautiful. Now, if you're still just thinking, so what? Big deal. The probability of one man fulfilling just 8 prophecies in a lifetime mathematically is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. 1 in 10, 17th power, in case you've been out of math for a while, that's 17 zeros after 10. That's outstanding. That's just 8 of the prophecies have been given to you, but I told you there was 2,500. And I told you that 2,000 have already been fulfilled. So since the probability for any of these prophecies having been fulfilled by chance averages less than 1 in 10, and that's figured, by the way, very conservatively, and since the prophecies are for the most part independent of one another, the odds for all of these prophecies having been fulfilled by chance without error, which they have been fulfilled without error, but the chance of that, listen to this number, is 1 in 10 to the 2,000th power. We don't even know how to say that number. And God's word has done it. You can now, ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause to your Savior for his word. Fourthly, this morning, again, moving through this because of time, certainly not because I have all the information I would love to give to you. I'd love to go deeper, but I can't. The fourth thing, and this is another incredible truth and proof, is archaeological backings. Saw this from my own eyes too, with my own eyes in Israel when I was there this past March. Listen, 25,000 plus, 25,000 plus archaeological finds have occurred in the Bible land, Israel, that confirm the truthfulness of God's word. Now those are digs. Those are finds not by Christians per se, not by necessary, you know, believers in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. These are just archaeologists who have interest in the Word of God, in the truth of the Word of God, or even people who are seeking to disprove the Word of God. And they have found over 25,000 5,000 evidences that testify to the T that God's word is truth. Check this one out. This is amazing. In every instance from an archaeological standpoint that the Bible could be checked out, it has been found 100% accurate. Archaeologists show up to their digs with Bibles in their hands because it is that accurate. I mean, these things blow us away, don't they? They're incredible here. If you're doubting God and the authenticity of his word, you got to doubt people like Napoleon. You got to doubt your secular history. And it doesn't have nearly the amount of substance to back it up, the truths that you've heard through history. This is not just eyewitnesses I'm calling to the stand this morning. These are just secular facts that you can go and do your own research on that will back up the truth. Even Wikipedia backs this stuff up. You could go look on Wikipedia, which is not even valid as far as something that you can use in a college course to back your sightings. And even Wikipedia will back up truths that I'm sharing with you this morning. Your God is alive and well. And he has given you his word so that you can know him. We don't worship the Bible, but we worship the God of the Bible. And we know about the God of the Bible because the Bible tells about the God of the Bible. They go hand in hand. And I'm thankful this morning that we aren't being duped. Because I'd be wasting my time. I'd be wasting my life. I've given my life to this thing. So I'm grateful this morning that I can stand before you with a clean conscience and clean hands, knowing that I'm not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. I'm lifting it and showing you the truth. And in seeing the truth, you will be set free. Praise the Lord. Last but not least this morning, I would pull to the witness stand if I had to, because I had doubters or skeptics here, me and you and the rest of the church transform lives. We once were lost, but now we are found, not because we saw Jesus, not because we got to witness him break loaves and fishes and multiply it and feed the thousands, not because we got to see him walk on water, but because somebody somewhere along the way presented the word of God to us and we heard it, and we, like the Thessalonians, we received it, not just into our ear gate, but into our heart gate, and it forever changed us. We've been ruined for this world, haven't we, First Service? We've been ruined for this world because we now know the God of the word because of the word of God. The word of God has gone into our hearts. The word of God has penetrated our souls and it has changed us from the inside out. We're no longer the same. We'll never be the same because Jesus Christ is at work in us through his spirit and through his word. Those two things coupled together. Now listen, please, in that verse that I already quoted to you in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where I told you that all scripture, 66 books, you got these numbers memorized, right? 66 books. 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, 807,361 words, all scripture, written by 40 different authors. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Here's the thing now, though, and it is profitable, it tells us in these verses, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God, that those at First Service at Calvary Chapel might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works and complete. The word of God has been given to us to transform us, to change us, and we are evidences of its power. We are the proof and the pudding of all of those other things that I've listed to you, aren't we? God is at work in us. Paul said to Timothy, it is profitable for doctrine. You might want to write this down. This is catchy. It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine, what does it mean? To know what's right. It's profitable for reproof, to know what isn't right. It's profitable for correction, to how to get right. And it's profitable for instruction, how to stay right. That's the word of God right there. That's the power of the word of God. Doctrine, to know what's right. I don't know what's right, and I don't know what's wrong, because truth isn't relative, it's absolute. And the only way I know what absolute truth is through the study of the word of God. Not how my heart leads me, not how I feel. I feel like a bonehead. My heart leads me to destruction. My heart doesn't lead me anywhere but to places of danger. It's God's word, the doctrine of God's word, the teaching of God's word that allows me to understand, to know what's truly right. And then it is through the reproof of God's word to know what's wrong. It's a terrible feeling, but it's a true feeling, isn't it, Christian? When you've been a jerk, or you've been temperamental, or you've been lustful, or you've been prideful, whatever it is, then you open God's word and it starts to talk to you. It starts to talk to you, doesn't it? And it reproves you. And it tells you what isn't right. Isn't that amazing when you're going through a Bible study on your own, how you just so happen to hear from God exactly what you needed to hear that day? Anyone else a little freaked out by that? Sitting in the morning, open your Bible, you have a cup of coffee, you went to bed angry with your wife, you didn't make it right, you went to bed angry at your husband, you didn't make it right, you open your Bible, and the first verse you read that day is, husbands love your wives the way Christ loves the church. Shut that thing. Who's possessed this thing, right? What's going on? That's not happen chance. That's not coincidence. That's God sovereignly orchestrating the whole show, your life. And he has you right where you need to be for that day to reprove you. It's amazing. This is the word of God. Let me go on here. Then he says it's profitable for correction, which is how to get right. Because once you feel lousy for the reproof because you know you've been a jerk or you've been a bonehead or you've been acting foolish, now it's like, now what do I do? Do I run from God? Do I run from the person I've wronged? No, God's word says, no, this is what you do. You got ought in your heart towards a brother? Go and tell them to their face. You need to humble yourself. Those who get low get high. It's a paradox. It's opposite of things of this world. It's opposite. The way up is down. It tells you how to get right, doesn't it? It teaches you these things in instruction. So thankful for the instruction of God's word. It's how to stay right. Because I'm trying to stay right so I don't have to get right. You know what I'm saying? How do I stay right? By applying the instruction of God's word to my life. And time after time after time again, these four things that Paul said to Timothy, they are profitable for you, have been profitable for me. How about you? They've been profitable. The word of God, man, let me list a few things to you of what the word of God has done for me, and I believe you too, so I'm going to make this plural here. The word of God, and you can amen after every single one if you're with me. The word of God, it blesses us. The word of God, it guides us. Psalm 119, 105 says this, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God, it definitely guides us. The word of God counsels us. Amen. The word of God revives us. Amen. Listen, it tells in Psalm 119, in case you didn't know, that's the Bible chapter. Psalm 119, it says this, verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to the preacher's, you know, friendly, soft, cushiony message. According to hyping me up with a light show and electrical music. No, through your word. That's how you get revived, through the word of God. Listen, the word of God makes us fruitful. Amen? The word of God brings maturity into our lives. Paul said that it is the sincere, pure milk of God's word that develops a believer. There is no other way for you to grow. Amen. Thank you, sir. The word of God provides warning. The word of God rewards us. The scripture says that by keeping the word of God, you will be rewarded. The word of God sanctifies us. Jesus prayed that in John chapter 17. The word of God purges us. Amen. That's John chapter 15. The word of God provides freedom to us. The word of God enriches us. It's getting weak, church. The word of God enriches us. The word of God brings his joy. The word of God strengthens us. The word of God, are you ready? The word of God endures forever. The word of God is indestructible. It's indestructible. It doesn't matter if the authorities come in and burn down every church in America and all of our Bibles with it. God's word will stand. Heaven and earth, Jesus said, will pass away, but my word will endure forever. You can't destroy it. You can take every Bible that you can find and cast them to the depths of the sea, and God's word will be preserved because it's God's word. And he lifts it up and he magnifies it above his name. It's indestructible. And last but not least, leading us into our close this morning, it enables us to stand. It enables us to stand. Look what Paul said here in context of the word of God back in our study this morning. He said to those in Thessalonica, you guys received what your ear gate, and then you received what your heart gate, the word of God. And as a result, verse 14, brethren, you became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, that are in Christ Jesus, for you also have suffered. You are suffering like things for your own countrymen who have killed the Jews and the Lord Jesus, verse 15, and their prophets, and they persecuted us, and they pleased not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. You guys are going through persecution. I had to leave town because it was so severe. They're going into Jason's home. Things are out of control there outwardly, visually. But the way that you're going to be able to stand, the way that you're not going to buckle, is not from hearing talk radio, not from hearing motivational speaking. The way that you're going to be able to stand is hearing and receiving the very word of God. And you're taking it, you're receiving it, you're applying it, and you're displaying it for the world to see. You get that? You're taking it, you're receiving it, you're applying it, and your action of doing so is on display for all the world to see. Because the word of God, the word of God, the God-breathed word that we presented to you, not of men, but of God, is at work continuously and effectuously in your life. Glorious. Job said, chapter 23, verse 12 of his book, he said, I have esteemed, I have treasured, he says, the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'm not sitting in church at first service at 10 o'clock thinking, when is he going to wrap it up so I can go buy an egg muffin in the cafe, an egg sandwich, a donut. He says, I can sit there and hear the word of God all day long. It is more important to me. I treasure it more than a big cheeseburger, than a steak, a filet mignon with a lobster tail on top of it. The word of God, if I had to pick a platter or the scripture, I choose scripture all day long. Now, that's outstanding. This guy says that. Food lovers, that's outstanding, isn't it? Because you need food to survive, but he says even more so, I need the scriptures. I need the inspired, inerrant, accurate truths that come from the throne of God much more than I need anything to satisfy my flesh. It's the word of God. The psalmist would say in Psalm 119, verses 14, verse 72, and verse 127, he says, I have rejoiced in the ways of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 72 of Psalm 119, if you're taking notes, the law of my mouth is better unto me than 1,000 pieces of gold and silver. Verse 127, therefore, Psalm 119, verse 127, therefore, I love your commandments, God, above gold. Yes, above fine gold. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers great treasure. So we got more than food and we got more than riches. The American dream, to make a buck, right? The American dream, to make such a living that you can be comfortable, live in a nice colonial, have two, three, four cars, have a boat, have a quad, have a motorcycle, have a white picket fence and a couple dogs running around the yard, a couple children running around the yard. You know, these are our desires, to be comfortable, to be able to retire, to play golf, to lay on the beach, whatever, riches and ability, that there's comfort in my life to just do what I want to do to bring ease. He says, above all that, I lift up the word of God. Above my 401k, above the stock market, above being prestigious and renowned in this world, I lift up the word of God. Incredible, challenging, and convicting, isn't it? Food, riches, last but not least, Psalm 119 again, verse 148, the psalmist says, my eyes are awake through the night watches that I might meditate upon your word. The Jews had three night watches, sunset to 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock to dawn. This is what the psalmist says. My eyes, I keep open all night long. Not to catch up on the shows I DVR'd. Not to be on Facebook. Not to be on Instagram stalking people. My eyes are open all night long because I can't put down your word. I love your word, oh God, more than I love sleep. Them second service people, not so much. But you guys, you're holy. You're more righteous than second service. I love your word, God, more than food. I love your word, God, more than riches. And I love your word, God, more than the cold side of my pillow that I flip over and cuddle and hug till the alarm clock goes off for the third time. I love your word, God, above everything else, because your word is at work in my life effectuously. Your word is at work in my life continuously. Your word is at work in my life so much so that it enables me and strengthens me and gives me what I need to press on and carry on. It's the word of God. Amen? Amen? Worship team, would you come? Would you lead us here in a song to close this service? We worship the sovereign Lord. Paul says, I commend you guys. I thank God for you guys in Thessalonica because you realize what you have. You realize that this is not just some book compiled of man-made letters. You realize that this is not some outdated book. You realize that this is not just some ancient book that doesn't apply to you today. You have taken it and you have esteemed it for what it is, the very word of God. Listen to me as you leave here, please. Read your Bible and pray every single day. Read your Bible and pray every single day. There is no other way to grow. There is no other way to build your house and to go up, 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 closer to God. There's no other way. You can't know Him. You can't understand Him. You can't please Him. You can't be in touch with Him. Anything else that you can come up with in your mind and your heart right now that insinuates growth and health in a Christian's life, you can't be any of those things apart from reading the Word of God and praying every single day. Now, here's what's going to happen. If you read your Bible and pray every single day, you're not going to be able to walk in sin. You're not going to be able to live a life of compromise. You're not going to be able to live a life of intentionally doing things that are not pleasing to the Lord, because here's why: He's going to confront those things. He's going to convict you of those things, and He's going to mold you and shape you by His Spirit and the Word of God into the image of the God of the Word. He's going to change you. It's glorious. These things can't coexist. They can't go hand in hand. And if you take the Word of God into your hands and you read it every day, it purifies you. And you pray every day, it keeps you in communion with the Lord. And it helps those things that are not good for you to be pushed and flushed from your life. It's wonderful. And it's the Word of God. It's God's heart for you today. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what the White House says. I don't care what the administrations that are over us say. If it's contrary to the Word of God, the Word of God needs to be elevated. The Word of God needs to stand. It's the Word of God. Amen? Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You, Jesus, that it trumps everything. We thank You that there is nothing, Lord, that can take from us the evidences, the proof that's in the pudding, that this is from You for us, to sustain us, to get us through doctor's phone calls, doctor's visits, problems with our prodigals, our marriage issues, God, whatever we got going on that we're facing today, whatever type of afflictions we are dealing with, whatever type of adversity that's coming toward us, persecution, Jesus, we could stand because of Your Word. We can stand on Your Word, Lord. We choose to build our houses, our homes, upon the solid rock of Your truth. And we thank You, Lord, no matter the storm, the waves, the wind that blows and howls, You will preserve us, You will uphold us, You will sustain us, and You will strengthen us. And for that, God, for that this morning, we choose to stand up and to worship You, to shout from the rooftops as we sang before, that You are sovereign God, that You are sovereign Lord, and You are worthy of all of our praise. So we bless You, and it's in Jesus' name, first service, all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.